Good evening. Good to see everybody here tonight. Hope you come expecting something. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to get to speak tonight. The preacher had asked me a while back because he was supposed to be out of town. He asked me, and I've been looking forward to it, and I don't take it lightly. It's serious business to stand in front of this desk. You know, we're talking about eternal stuff. I'm here today representing him, you know, so I hope you'll get something out of what God gave me. If you would, open your Bible to Genesis chapter number 50. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 20, and then we're going to talk about it for a little bit. If you would stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for being so good. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to come to your house, God. Open your word, God, and Lord, try to learn something from it, God. Lord, I pray, God, you'll be with me as I speak tonight, God. Lord, you'll hide me so they won't see me, God, but they'll see you, that we can get something that we can take with us, God, to help us live closer to you, God. Maybe help us, God, in our daily walk, and help us to understand, God, when bad stuff comes our way, God, that, Lord, you're still in control. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to talk about Joseph today. Joseph's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I've loved studying Joseph over the years and what he's gone through. But the way I got there, the chaplain for the wrestling team at the high school, he comes in once, twice, however many times he feels like it during the week, and after practice, he'll do a devotion with them. And this, he has a theme, and his theme this year is from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, and that's a verse that says, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. And that's what I wanted to talk about, but that ain't what the Lord wanted me to talk about tonight. But anyway, that's a good verse. The just man walketh with in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. That's good motivation there to be the dad that you need to be. Amen. But he's been talking about men of integrity from the Bible, and he brought up Joseph. Do you know that the Bible don't say anything bad about Joseph? He's one of the few people in the Bible. You know, Moses made mistakes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were made terrible mistakes. Bible don't ever say anything bad about Joseph. And so he talked about Joseph last week, and after he talked about Joseph for a little while, the next day, Tanner, we were standing in the kitchen, and he wanted to talk about Joseph a little bit. And he was asking about Joseph and that sort of thing, and I got to talking about Joseph and got to thinking about Joseph, and the Lord said, so you're going to talk about Joseph. I said, well, that's great, because I needed something. Amen. So to talk about Joseph, we got to start at the beginning. We got to go to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and those are the patriarchs. And then we get to Joseph. We know that Jacob, we're going to skip over Abraham and Isaac, and we're going to go straight to Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, one daughter. He had five sons by Leah, his first wife, who he didn't want to start with, but Laban got him and tricked him into marrying Leah. And then he had two sons by her handmaid. And then he had two sons by Rachel, who he wanted, who he loved, who was his wife that he loved. And he had two sons by her handmaid. Well, Joseph was the son of Rachel. Joseph was the son that he loved. He was the favorite. Now, Jacob knew that having a favorite was bad news because it caused trouble with him and his family. He was his mama's favorite, and his brother Esau was his daddy's favorite. And it caused trouble in their house. But his favorite was Joseph. He didn't try to hide it. Matter of fact, he gave Joseph what the Bible calls a coat of many colors. And what that's probably really in actuality was a full-length coat with long sleeves. It was for management. It wasn't for laborers. You know, it was for somebody that was in charge. So Joseph was probably in charge of his brothers, even though he was the next to the youngest one. His brother Benjamin was younger than him. He was also a son of Rachel's, and Rachel actually died having Benjamin. But Joseph here was put in charge of his brothers, it seems to be. Jacob even used Joseph to spy on his brothers. He'd come back, he'd say, hey, what are they doing? And sometimes Joseph would bring back a bad report, make his brothers dislike him. And his brothers disliked him a lot. His brothers hated him. His brothers, his other nine, not Benjamin, but his other nine brothers, they hated him because his daddy loved him so much and showed favoritism to him. Now, when you look at that, one thing you got to understand is that ain't Joseph's fault. He didn't say, hey, daddy, like me more. Hey, daddy, give me a coat and put me in charge. You know, I had a buddy at work one time. He applied for a management job, and it was about four of them, and they narrowed it down, and they picked the other guy. And he was mad as fire at the other guy. I said, hey, Bo, he didn't pick himself. If you're going to be mad at somebody, you can be mad, but be mad at the people that picked him. You know, he didn't do nothing to you, but apply just like you did. So anyway, his brothers hate him. Daddy's got him in charge. His daddy's gave him a coat of many colors, long sleeve management jackets. Well, it's a management coat, what it is. It's the man in charge. And the brothers hate him. So the brothers are out herding sheep. These were herdsmen. They were out tending to the sheep, tending to the flocks. And his daddy sends Joseph to go check on them. Well, the brothers see him coming, and they come up with a plan. Well, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. And then Reuben comes up with the plan, who's the oldest, who he did a lot of bad stuff when you study God's word, but he did some good stuff too. He says, no, let's don't kill him. Let's put him in a pit. Back then in this area, they had pits where they say where water was stored at because it was dry, and so it was empty at the time. So Reuben had a plan, hey, we'll throw him in that pit, and I'll come back later and get him and just take him home. And so they throw him in the pit, and he's 17 years old. He's still a kid. He's probably, you know, hollering, hey, come on now, let me out of here. This is, you know, older brothers. Some of us, you know, got older brothers. Got, you know, I was the older brother, so I don't know what it's like to get picked on by an older brother, but I do know what it's like to pick on a younger brother. I was real good at that. Still am, as a matter of fact. But so he's, hey, man, let me out of here. The brothers sit down to eat, and Judah comes up with this plan. Hey, let's sell him. This is a well-traveled path, road we're on. They see some Ishmaelites coming by, slave traders. They know that this is a band of slave traders on their way to Egypt. He said, let's just sell him. We'll take that coat. We'll dip it in blood. We'll tell daddy that a wild animal got him on the way, and we'll just sell him, and we'll be done with him forever, and we won't have to kill him. Apparently, Reuben had walked off while all this happened. And so that's what they do. They take that coat. They kill a goat, which is the same thing. They're going to trick Jacob with this bloody coat that's bloody by a goat. And that is the same thing that Jacob did to his daddy. He took the skin of a goat and put on his arms to trick his daddy. You know, the Bible always says you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow. And then when you read the Bible, you see just about everybody in there reap what they sow. And then you start living a little bit, and you start realizing that you reap what you sow. You know, and that's just the way it is. So Joseph's been thrown in the pit. He's pulled out. He's sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take him to Egypt, and they sell him to a man named Potiphar. He is a slave now. He's been sold as a slave. And he's been sold as a slave. But the thing is, Potiphar is way on up in the politics in Egypt. He's one of the men in charge. He's over the arm. He's over the guards that look after Pharaoh, so to speak. He's like the head of the secret service is what he is. And so Joseph goes in, and the Bible says, so now you got to look at Joseph. All Joseph's trying to do is honor his father and do what his father told him to do, and he's punished for it, and now he's been sold as a slave, and he's at Potiphar's house. But the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Even as a slave, even in the Potiphar's house, and everything the Bible says, everything he touched, God blessed. So much to the fact that Potiphar eventually made him in charge of his whole house. Potiphar said, I don't worry about nothing except what I'm going to put in my mouth and eat. I'll let Joseph take care of everything else, because everything Joseph touches is good and is blessed. So Joseph's working for Potiphar. He's doing his thing. He's taking care of business. But Potiphar's wife, she puts her eye on him. Joseph was a young man. He was a handsome man. And she starts coming on to him daily, trying to seduce him daily. And Joseph somehow, some way, keeps putting her off, getting away. And he told her one day, she come to him and said, lie with me. She was blunt. She didn't beat around the bush. She said, come lie with me. And he said, your husband has put everything in this house under my charge. There is nothing in this house that's not under my charge except for you. And it will be a sin against, and you think he's going to say Potiphar. He says, it will be a sin against God if I lay with you, so I'm not going to lay with you. Amen. He turns to take off. She pulls his coat off. She gets mad. She's a woman scorned. She pulls his coat off, and she is mad at Joseph. He's done turned her down. So now she's going to turn. She screams. Some of the other servants come in. She said that Hebrew that Potiphar brought in here, he tried to attack me and lay with me. And here's his coat to prove it. So here again, Joseph ain't done nothing wrong. He's trying to honor his master and do what his master told him to do. And he gets in trouble for it. Yeah. Potiphar comes home. She's got the coat laying beside her. And she says, that Hebrew that you brought in here, he tried to lay with me. And he's got to be gone. So Potiphar throws him in jail. One little asterisk to that story right there is the penalty for adultery, or the penalty for trying to do that from a slave to the master's wife, was death. Yeah. It wasn't negotiable. It wasn't debatable. It was, okay, slave, you're dead now. You tried to hit on lay with my wife, you're dead. But Potiphar didn't do that. He just had him thrown in prison, which lets us know that Potiphar probably knew his wife. He probably knew his wife and the kind of woman she was. And so instead of having him put to death, put him in jail. But here's the thing. Because Potiphar's so high up and so close to Pharaoh, he's in the special prison where all the criminals that have done something against Pharaoh are at. He gets in there, and you ain't going to believe this, but the Bible says that while Joseph is in jail, the Lord was with him. Amen. You think, well, now, come on now. Joseph ain't did nothing. He hadn't did nothing wrong. And now he's in prison. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. Well, that ain't right. That's like an oxymoron. It don't make sense. The man's in prison. But listen to this. He does so good in jail that they put him in charge of the jail. There's a jailkeeper, and Joseph's a prisoner, but he's in charge of the jail. And what he's doing here, we don't find out till later. He's in training. By learning how to maintain Potiphar's books and his household and all his stuff, he's in training for something that's going to come later that we're going to get to in a minute. And then by being put in prison in the palace, he's learning how this stuff does. And there's been archaeological finds that show that there was a lot of times a scribe of the prison that was over like the prison's assets and the money and the stuff that went in and out and all that. And so that's probably what he was. But he's doing good in prison. The jailer lets him do as he's a prisoner, but he's in charge of the other prisoners. And he meets these two people. The Bible calls them the baker and the butler of Pharaoh. But what they actually are is the baker or the cook and the cupbearer. This guy was in charge of if anybody's trying to poison Pharaoh, he makes sure that Pharaoh don't drink nothing that he ain't approved and checked and been through. So he's kind of like in the Secret Service. He's in charge of that. He's the wine keeper or the cupbearer of Pharaoh. He meets them. They're in prison. And you got to think, and when you get to studying this story, you think, well, why are they in prison? If they did something to Pharaoh, why ain't they dead? And then you find out a little later, and we're going to get there, is that there's probably some investigation going on in the palace. Apparently, there was an attempt to kill Pharaoh. You know, when you're in charge, that's what happens. Kings, pharaohs, everybody. And they didn't know if it was the baker or if it was the cupbearer. So apparently, there's an investigation going on. But Joseph gets to know these guys because they're prisoners together. And Joseph, he comes in one day. And Joseph, they're in prison, but he's upbeat. He's, you know, I'm just doing my thing. I don't know why I'm here, but I know it's, you know, I'm doing all I can. He comes in one day, and the baker and the butler, their face, the Bible, their countenance was bad. They were sad. They were really sad. And Joseph walks up, and he says, hey, why are you guys so sad today? And the baker says, well, we both had this dream last night, and we don't know what it means, and we can't understand it. And Joseph, I failed to mention earlier, one of the reasons his brothers hated him so bad is because he had dreams. And I told you the Bible doesn't say anything bad about Joseph, but I'm about to say something bad about Joseph. When he had them dreams at his father's house, he probably should have kept them to himself. He probably shouldn't have went and told his brothers, but he come down from breakfast one morning and said, I had a dream. I had a dream that all y'all was going to bow down to me one day. Mama, daddy, brothers, everybody. And his daddy even says, because he has a couple different dreams, and the last one is the moon and sun and the stars, which means mama, daddy, and the brothers is going to bow down. And the daddy's like, are you really trying to say that you think we're going to bow down to you one day? He said, I'm just telling you what my dream was. You know, you take it how you want to take it. I'm just telling you what a dream. And so he knows how he's the best dream interpreter in the Bible, but it ain't him, it's God. So the baker tells him, we had these dreams, and he says, well, God can interpret them. He don't say Joseph can interpret them, because he knows he ain't nothing, he ain't nobody. He said, but God can interpret them. Tell me your dreams. They tell him these dreams, and I can't get into them right now, go read them. But basically what it means is, baker, you tried to kill Pharaoh. You're going to get hung. Butler, they're going to find you innocent. You're going to get your old job back. You're going to be right there at the cupbearer with Pharaoh again pretty soon. And that's exactly what happened. The baker was hung, and the cupbearer's going back to his job with Pharaoh. And so Joseph catches him, though, before he leaves. He says, hey, cupbearer, now we done got to be friends here in this jail, and I want you to know, when you get up there with Pharaoh, how about tell him about this old Hebrew down here in prison? Because I ain't done nothing wrong. I got stole from my mom and daddy's house, sold into slavery, got sold to Potiphar, got accused of something I didn't do that got me here. So when you get to Pharaoh, if you don't mind, how about mention old Joseph? See if you can't get me out of here. I mean, I'm doing all right, but I want to go home. So how about see if you can't get me out of here? And the cupbearer says, gotcha, Joseph, will do. And the next verse says the cupbearer was restored to his position and forgot about Joseph. Yeah. Ain't that what we do? Yeah. Somebody do something good for you. Hey, man, don't forget about me. And then they go. You gone. We forget about them. So then, it's 2 years. 2 years. That he's in, the man forgot about him for two. He didn't forget about him for 2 days or 2 weeks. It's 2 years, and he wouldn't have never remembered him except Pharaoh started having these dreams, and he couldn't explain them. And one of them, was these seven fat cows come out of the water. And then these seven scrawny, ugly, about to die cows come out of the water. And the seven scrawny cows eat the seven fat cows, but they don't look no better. And now the seven fat cows is gone. And all you got is them seven raggedy cows. And Pharaoh wakes up. And he goes back to sleep, and he dreams about seven corn stalks that are that's full of, you know, fat, juicy corn. And then seven more with this dried up, ain't no kernels on the corn, on the cob, and they consume the good stuff. And he wakes up, and he calls in all his magicians, all his wise men, all that kind of thing, and they can't none of them tell him what it means. And they don't know. And the cupbearer's standing there seeing all this go on. And then a light bulb goes off one day, and he says, oh, I know a guy. I know a guy. He goes up to Pharaoh. He says, hey, I know a guy. Me and the baker had dreams the same night. We told this Hebrew down in prison our dreams, and he told us what they was. And then it came true. You killed the baker. You gave me my job back. And so Pharaoh says, well, I don't know about them Hebrews, but I ain't got nothing to lose. He's just a prisoner. Somebody go get him and bring him up here. But now you couldn't go see Pharaoh looking like a prisoner. So the Bible says they cleaned him up, gave him a new suit of clothes, shaved him real good, brought him to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, okay, let me tell you my dream. He tells him about the cows and the stalks. And Joseph said, okay, let Joseph tell you what that means. No. He says, well, you know, only God knows what they mean, what your dreams mean. He said, but I'll tell you what they mean. What that means, Pharaoh, is there's going to be 7 years of plenty here in Egypt. I mean, Egypt was considered the breadbasket of that area at that time because it was on the Nile River. It wasn't drought, desert area like the other areas. They could grow crops on the banks of the Nile. And so he says, what's going to happen, Pharaoh? We're going to have 7 good years. I mean 7 good years. We're going to harvest more than's ever been harvesting in them years. He said, what's going to happen next, Pharaoh? There's going to be 7 years of famine, and it's going to be bad. And it's going to not just be Egypt, it's going to be everywhere. He said, so Pharaoh said, well, all right, smart guy, what you think I ought to do about that? Joseph said, well, what you need to do, Pharaoh, me and Ralph and Alice always joke about people coming up to you telling you what you need to do. Because, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but when you do stuff at church, a lot of other people won't tell you what you need to do. Yeah. And they come up to you and say, hey, you working on, let me tell you what you need to do. Anyway, Joseph tells Pharaoh, what you need to do is you need to appoint a man, a smart man, a just man, an honest man. For those 7 years of plenty, you got to put up, Pharaoh. You got to put it up and store it up. Because you got to have something to eat them 7 years that you're going to be in famine. Pharaoh said, you know what? That's a good idea, Joseph. It's going to be you. He said, wait a minute now. I didn't ask for that. I didn't want that. You know, Pharaoh said, no, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. That's your new job. And he was so good at his job, he was second in command in all of Egypt. He woke up that morning in a prison. In dirty dungeon prison. He went to sleep that night, cleaned up, shaved, new suit of clothes in the palace. Number two in command of the second, probably the richest or second richest country on earth at the time. And he does a good job. He's the prime minister of Egypt. They put up grain for 7 years. The famine hits. He's got plenty enough to feed Egypt. He's done good now. He's good with the books. He's got plenty enough to feed Egypt. He's got so much that people from all around the area start hearing, because they're starving, hey, Egypt's got food. Let's go buy some food from Egypt. And so everybody starts going to Egypt. You know who they got to go talk to buy food? Joseph. Joseph, the one that was sold into slavery, the one that was sold as a slave to Potiphar, the one that was abandoned by his brothers, the one that was thrown in prison, that's who they got to go to and say, Mr. Joseph, and I think they gave him an Egyptian name, but I don't remember what it was, so we're going to keep calling him Joseph. They said, hey, Mr. Joseph, we ain't got no food, but we got some gold. Can we buy some food? And the Bible says that at this time, during this famine, that's when Egypt's riches exploded because they was the only ones with food, and it's kind of one of them supply and demand deals. They could charge what they want. And Joseph also, he got the thing, you know what? He put in the first income tax. You know, he started taxing people that was growing, and he started putting on a little tax and saving money back and saving stuff back, and everything's going good. But then there's this other group. Remember that guy named Jacob and them other sons? Guess what they doing? Starving. Starving. And Jacob says, hey, Reuben, that's the oldest. I heard there's some grain in Egypt. Why don't you go to Egypt and buy us some grain? And you know, these boys, men by now, because with the 7 years of good, and now we're in the 7 years of bad towards the end of it, Joseph's about 30 at this point. So these boys are, you know, older than that. They're men. But don't you know that's been on their conscience for all them years? Well, not only that they did it to their brother, but they did it to their daddy's favorite son, and their daddy ain't been the same since. He fell into a depression when it happened. And so Jacob says, Reuben, y'all go get some food. So they go to Joseph. They don't recognize Joseph because Joseph looks like an Egyptian now. He's got the painted on eyebrows and the weird hair, and he ain't got the Hebrew beard and all that. He looks like an Egyptian. And so they come before him, and Joseph knows who they are. And guess what he is? So like me, I know Joseph, and I wish I was as good as Joseph, but I know me. They come before Joseph, I'd be thinking, off with their heads. You know what I mean? Off with their heads. They did that to me. I ain't seen my daddy in 16, 17 years, off with their heads. Joseph was so happy to see them, but he didn't want to tell them who he was yet. So he'd done some testing to see if they had changed. He made them bring back their younger brother. They didn't bring Benjamin, his full brother, with them. He makes them come back, and he gives Benjamin more than he gives them and treats Benjamin better than them just to see if they're going to turn on Benjamin, but they don't. And so they come, and he makes Benjamin come, and they finally get back with Benjamin. And Joseph, they've proved to him that, you know, they've changed, they're different. And he goes out before him, and when he sees Benjamin, he gets so upset, he has to go in the room and start crying because he can't control the emotion. It's so loud, they said the Egyptians heard him. I mean, it's wailing. It's going on all around. And so he comes out, and he tells them, and he had set the table up. It's funny. He set the table up where the oldest sat here, and they went in order from oldest to youngest, from Reuben to Benjamin. And they sat down, and I was like, how do they know? Because, you know, a lot of these guys are like almost the same age because they had four different mamas that was having babies at the same time. But they know, they're all in order. And they're like, how do they know who's the oldest and who's the youngest? And Joseph comes out and he says, hey, I'm your brother, Joseph. And they're just jaws drop, eyes wide open, because they think it's fixing to be off with their heads. You know what I mean? And Joseph said, but don't worry. Don't even think bad of yourself. Because God put me here so that I might save many lives. There's no telling how many millions of lives were saved because God put Joseph in that position that day. And then he asked him the question that's been burning on him for all these years. He looks at him and says, is Daddy alive? And they said, yeah. He said, can you go get him? And so they all come back to that land. Pharaoh, Joseph tells Pharaoh about the whole deal, and it's his family. Pharaoh said, oh, y'all herdsmen? Y'all raise sheep, cattle, all that stuff? He said, we're going to give you the best land we got around here. Y'all go take that land of Goshen down there. You just, it's about 70 of them between Jacob, his other sons, his grandsons, his grand, all them. It's about 70 of them that come to Egypt. He says, Pharaoh says, we'll give them that land over there, and y'all just go over there and raise the sheep. And you work for me now. And Joseph's so excited, he sees his daddy. And then you get on in to towards the end of it, to chapter 50. And the chapter 50's like bookend by death at the beginning and a death at the end. At the beginning of chapter 50, Jacob dies. And so his brothers, who've been there a little while now, raising sheep, you know, in Goshen, they're like, uh-oh, Daddy ain't here to protect us anymore. I know Joseph's probably just been good to us because Daddy was still alive. He's going to probably take us out now. So all the brothers, they go to the palace, to Joseph, and they get in there, and they say, Joseph, we know that, you know, we was bad to you. And we know you've been nice to us as long as Daddy's been alive, but please just have mercy on us. And that's where we get to that verse. I'm going to read it again. They come to Joseph, and they beg him for mercy. And Joseph said, fear not, verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Which basically means Joseph said, I'm not going to be your executioner. I'm not going to be your one that passes judgment on you. What you did to me, you got to take up with God. He said, I'm over it. I'm past it. You got to take that up with God. But then he says, verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. You thought that what you were doing was evil against me. He said, but, I love it when you see buts in the Bible. I mean, that's always good stuff. And then this one is one of them special buts that says, but God. This is one of them but gods. He said, but God meant it unto good. He said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Amen. He said, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. He said, look, you did your best to do evil to me. He said, but everywhere I went, God was with me. And I mean, it's been hard. I missed Daddy. I missed y'all. I missed Benjamin. It's been hard. But God meant it to good. And so And you get to thinking about that. It's not just about Joseph. So Joseph's in the pit. Joseph is in Potiphar's house, slave. Joseph is in prison. But then Joseph is in the palace. You know what I mean? And so you get to thinking, well, man, Joseph had a lot of bad stuff happen to him. But it wasn't about Joseph. It was about all them mouths that was going to get fed because of Joseph. So I told you all this tonight to tell you this. Look, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what bad stuff's going on. I know we've had a lot of sickness. We've had a lot of death in our church. We've had a lot of bad stuff. And I don't know why you are where you're at, but here's something remarkable. It might not be about you. It might be God using you to save somebody else later. He's taking you through this to get you where you got to be. And listen, it's even bigger than that. Did you know, I'm fixing to blow you mind because I about blew my own mind around thinking about this. Did you know that Joseph went through all that bad for you, for Thaddeus Eugene Jacobs Jr.? Let me tell you how. Because God has a plan. And it's amazing, I've told the Sunday school class, that the more you study this book, you start realizing it ain't a bunch of stories. It's one story. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the same story that goes on and on. But here's what it is. So God had promised Abraham that he was going to have descendants more than the sands of the sea, stars of the heaven, dust of the air. When he took Jacob and his family and put them in Goshen, they started prospering. It was like putting them in an incubator. You take these 70 people in this family, 450 years later, they're a nation of about 2 million. They done got so big that the Egyptians has done made them slaves and make them make bricks. But God had a plan for this family, which is now this nation, which is God's chosen people. And that plan for this nation is for one day the Messiah to come through. And if you get in Matthew, the first chapter, you can see the descendants there that takes us to where we're going. And so for Joseph to pit, Potiphar, prison, palace, to get them to Goshen, to grow them to a nation so God can take them out so they can keep growing so that one day there can be a descendant that comes from the Lion of Judah. There can be a descendant that runs through Boaz and Ruth. There can be a descendant, one that comes that is your Messiah and my Messiah. Jesus, Joseph had to go through all that so one day they could be a nation, so one day Jesus Christ could come and fulfill the prophecies. So God did that. So don't think about what you're going through and how bad it is. Start thinking about how's God going to use this. Do you think that when Joseph was in that pit, when he was hauling out for his brothers, hey, let me out of here, that he was thinking about, hey, one day there's going to be a Messiah coming. He's going to come because of all this. This is the path. This is the story. This is what's going to happen to get him here. No. I think when he was in Potiphar's house fighting off Potiphar's wife, he was thinking, man, this is terrible, but it's okay. One day the Messiah is going to come, and it's going to come through this whole story here. No. When he was in prison, no. So you don't know why, what you're in and what you're doing, why it's going the way it's going, but it's happening for a reason. Nothing happens in your life by accident. And there is no one moment in your life, one situation that's just standalone. It all ties together to get you where you're going. The thing is, though, you don't know where you're going, but he does. So hang on. Trust him. Just keep doing the best you can where you're at. And the Bible says that the Lord will bless you where you're at if you hang on to him. Johnny's song, "The Lord is My Shepherd," don't have nothing to do with this message. But I'd like for you to come sing that again because I love that song. But it kind of does in the fact that, you know, your shepherd, the shepherd leads the sheep. Sheep are dumb. We're dumb. You know, and the shepherd leads the sheep, but you got to hang on. You got to follow the shepherd. Amen. You got to follow the shepherd. Amen. Amen.